There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
So what did I miss? What did I miss?
It is no surprise to anyone listening to this show who's listened before that you love your cruises, Mark Lloyd.
I do, and I just get a completely different feeling when I walk on board a cruise ship. I think I've arrived home. I absolutely love it.
I have been known to say that cruises are for people of a certain age.
My age?
Yes.
And above?
Yes.
Yes. People with greyish hair.
Did you know? The first cruise ship designed specifically for Gen Y has just set sail. Do you know who Gen Y are?
They're the young, up-and-coming millennial-type people, aren't they?
They are the millennials. It's another way of saying millennials, Gen Y. And to be a millennial or a Gen Y-er, you had to be born in the early 80s. It can go right up to early 2000s, I think, and you're still
okay.
A millennial.
All right.
You're not in that. I'm not in that. I just missed out 1979. I'm glad, to be honest. Who wants to be a millennial?
I missed out by a country mile on that one.
Well, yeah, it has set sail. It is off. I am sailing. I am sailing. Oh, hang on. This music's probably a bit old then, isn't it?
I think maybe we need to go a bit younger for the generation-wise.
Sail away with me, honey. Put my heart in your hand.
That's nice.
Sail away. It is, it's nice for us, but you know, I'm still not feeling it for the Gen Ys. I think maybe a little bit younger.
Younger than this? Younger than David Gray?
Yeah.
Got it. What do you expect to be different on a cruise for Gen Y than on a cruise for us?
I'm guessing there's going to be a lot more Wi-Fi everywhere. I'm also guessing that perhaps the style of music that the DJ plays won't be Kool and the Gang and the Bee Gees. It'll probably be a lot of house music.
There will be no line dancing in the morning, let me tell you.
There will not.
I'd miss that.
How sad is that?
At U by UniWorld, they're trying to capture the young travellers. They've launched two refurbished ships with fast Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I was right there. Yeah.
Craft cocktails and itineraries featuring everything from sunrise yoga to silent discos.
Oh, me. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Silent discos. How do them silent discos work? You're all listening to your own tunes, is that it?
And dancing away.
And dancing away.
Huh?
Yeah.
Last month, they quietly dropped the age range, though, which was 21 to 45, because they had been inundated with people older than 45 going, hang on a minute, I'd like to go on this. They call them young at heart. I call them men with much younger girlfriends.
Okay.
And the maiden voyage was from Amsterdam to Frankfurt. Sounds like quite a fun little cruise, this.
All right. Now, the ship is pretty stylish. It's like a stylish-looking hotel, really. Think boutique meets luxury yacht.
Ooh.
Meets local hotspot.
Nice.
That's how they're pitching it. It's got a matte black in exterior with neon-coloured signage, a roof deck with sun lounges, Ibiza-style island beds, and also a collapsible ice bar. And cabins are arranged around the remaining two decks with everything from bunk bed triples to luxury suites.
Breakfast, there's no avocado on toast to be seen anywhere. They will cook your eggs any way you want them. Smoothies, cured meats, cheeses, tomato-based drinks named after one of England's queens, Mary.
Dinner is a four-course affair with sharing dishes as well. Now, the starting price is 6,316 dirhams. Not sure how many millennials will have that kind of cash knocking around. For that, you get your 14 meals on board and 11 excursions. That's not bad with your excursions in.
No, that's a lot of excursions. A week's drink package will cost you an additional 1,325 dirhams. Some of the excursions look pretty cool. One's to a trendy district of Amsterdam where a Gothic church has been converted into a brewery. I'll tell you what they should have mentioned on this cruise that's different to normal cruise ships, and they didn't.
What's that?
They should have walls where the rails are.
Walls?
Walls.
But don't you go out to the rails to watch the sunset?
You do, but you can't have them, and I'll tell you why. You've told us before that you worked on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
Did you know that I used to work on a ship?
I did not, and Are we talking seriously a cruise ship going across the Mediterranean and stuff like that?
Not going across the Mediterranean. This is the difference. So I used to work on something called the Tuxedo Royal, which was in Newcastle upon Tyne. It was a massive cruise liner. I'm telling you, I did.
Hang on a minute. You're telling me this is a cruise ship moored on the River Tyne?
Yeah. Massive, massive cruise ship. Retired out of sailing service on the high seas.
Okay.
They parked it on the quayside under the Tyne Bridge. It looked great. From the outside.
Okay.
On the inside, it was a nightclub with a very sticky floor, lots of disorientated students attempting and failing to get on and off a revolving dance floor with some level of class. But the thing is, people would jump off.
What, they jump off this revolving dance floor?
The ship.
Oh, they jump off the ship?
They jump off the ship.
What, into the River Tyne?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
I mean, that would be rather chilly.
Awful. There was a bouncer with a big hook whose job it was to stand down the end. I worked behind the bar, if you're wondering. He'd stand down the end with this big hook and he would wait. The current would flow one way. They tend to jump off on one side.
Okay.
And then they'd go down the river and he'd hook them out at that end, hook people back in. From the icy cold northeast English water, it would stop feistiness from people. There was no argle bargle normally going on with bouncers after that. But the real trouble was, and this is why I say they need walls, was when they would jump off the wrong side.
Onto the tarmac.
Because that's a car
park. Onto the quayside.
And we know how high they are, right?
Oh, dear.
These boats, yeah.
Only in Newcastle, I guess, yeah.
Anyway, high walls, that's what I'm suggesting. You by UniWorld, if you are keen to go on that cruise.
Yeah, I just want to ask you one question.
Go on.
Why was the floor so sticky in there? Is it maybe drinks had been spilt and all that?
Probably chewing gum as well.
Oof.
Shouldn't have allowed it, really,
oh, dear.
If you ask me.
Oh, no.
Right, travelling to Milan for this next story.
Yeah, Milan Design Week is drawing to a close. It's also known as the greatest show on earth. Have you been to Milan?
I don't think I have, you know. It doesn't strike me as somewhere I would go. High fashion, isn't it, Milan?
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, very Italian, Milan. And you don't want to get into any argle-bargle in Milan because otherwise the mob will come and sort you out. You know, you're not dealing with any boys here, let me tell you. Now, vegan furniture and sustainable living was what was trending at the Milan Design Week this year. And my first thought was, who's eating the furniture?
That's not what it's about, though, is it?
No.
Because we've been looking into this.
I know. This is amazing.
No one's eating furniture.
No. Some of the things at the show we quite like. First up is a cardboard bed.
These look pretty cool, don't they?
Yeah, they just like come in a cardboard box and you fold it out and suddenly you've got your bottom of your bed there.
They do this a lot with pallets in Europe. I've seen a couple of trendy flats where they've got a couple of pallets on the floor, mattress on top, and that's a makeshift bed. This would be a great swap out for one of those, I think. They're recyclable. They're made by a company called Happy Beds. There's no screws or pieces needed to hold it together. Purely cardboard, but you would need to find somewhere to have your mattress. Like, I get that this is a cardboard bed. You whip it out when you need it. But your mattress has still got to be stored somewhere, hasn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it has. But
although that maybe would go under your bed.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, will it support the weight, though?
Yeah.
It's strong cardboard, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Comes in four finishes. A classic cardboard, white, black, and petrol blue. That's my favourite. It's got a concertina design. So imagine, like, opening out a concertina.
Yeah.
You can assemble it in seconds. It's reinforced. It can carry 100 times its own weight.
Wow. So you could get a pile of you in there, in this bed, couldn't you?
I don't know why you'd want a pile of people in a bed. It can be folded and stored when not in use. You just got to add the mattress. 740 dirhams for a standard double plus. IKEA are going to be selling these. I'm not sure if they'll sell them out here.
Mm-hmm.
They do look pretty cool, though. And I think it'd be good if guests were coming around.
Not bad for a bed, 740 dirhams. Now, the other big thing at Milan Design Week was something that we already see right here at City Walk. You'll have seen this as you drive past. Lamps on balconies.
And I often wonder, because they're the lamps on the balconies at City Walk that go on and off. Have you seen it intermittently?
Okay.
And I think, not sure about living in there with a lamp going on and off all the time. Pretty off-putting when you've got the telly on, wouldn't it? Or trying to get to sleep at night.
Yeah.
But lamps on balconies, they are totally in. I know we've always had lamps on balconies, but these are lamps that look like they're meant to be for indoors. So they look really pretty and they look really delicate.
Okay.
But they're made to be waterproof. They're made so that no dust or anything will get into them. Moisture won't affect them either. And they look like lamps that you would have inside. And they're going to be about 446 dirhams.
Are they safe?
Taken off. Yeah.
Yeah?
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not going to blow up out there or anything.
All right, sounds good, that, doesn't it? I particularly like the bed.
I like the bed too.
Yeah.
I might invest in one of them in the future.
I think you ought to. Just don't get any water on it, because soggy cardboard isn't as strong as...
Oh, no.
You don't want to get
no
it wet.
No drinks in the bedroom.
No drinks in the bed.
With all those people Mark's piled in. More stories from around the world. Have you ever applied for any of these best jobs in the world when they come up? We see them all the time, don't we?
I know you have.
There's another one. We're going to tell you about it.
You didn't get it, though, did you?
Oh, I didn't get it. All right. But you know what people always say about these jobs? They always say, you'll never get it. And they're right. If you don't apply, you will never get it.
You won't.
So what did I miss? What did I miss?
We're just talking about me working on a cruise ship. We normally talk about Mark working on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
My cruise ship never moved. It was called the Tuxedo Royale, and it was a big nightclub in Newcastle-upon-Tyne in the north of England. To show you some pictures, what do you think?
I think it looks pretty cool. And I was actually speaking to Steve on the phone, who texted in. He said it was a little bit dodgy, and one thing that he pointed out that you didn't was that there were phones on every table that you could dial someone up on another table, which sounds a little bit unusual to me.
It sounds like a good idea. That wasn't in my day, though.
No? So that was after you, maybe...
That must have been after I left.
They had a refit.
They actually changed boats. They changed from the Tuxedo Royale to the Tuxedo Princess. It was a big deal in my town.
Okay, so that's when the phones went in, then.
Tell you what they did used to have, though, which is why, to this day, I always drink out of a straw when I go places. Just make sure it's a cardboard straw, not a plastic one. I know where that's going environmentally. Yeah. But I used to have to wash the glasses, and there would be all of these draining boards underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to just make sure when you put the glasses back that you kind of got them not leaning on a mushroom, but over the top.
Oh, dear.
Disgusting.
You worked pretty hard then, didn't you, when you was on that shit? Because you had a day job as well.
I did have a day job. Then I'd go there, work at nights till 3 a.m, then go back to my day job, work weekends as well. Working up the ladder, wasn't I?
No wonder you made $1 million in your first year.
Trying to get in a radio. I wasn't. I was trying to get into a state agency.
Right.
Different dream. So we're heading to the Philippines next.
Oh, traveling. This is my part of the world, yeah?
It is. They've done something that you would really expect to see in Dubai rather than the Philippines, I think. They've done it on a much smaller scale, though. I don't know if this is the right song that fits, but it's the first one I thought of when I saw the pictures of this. It's an inflatable island. Have you seen the pictures?
I've seen inflatable water parks, but an inflatable island? Seriously?
It's all connected, and it is a water park, you're right. It's a massive inflatable water park. It covers 4,100 square metres, which is huge.
That's a big one. It needs a lot of air inside it, doesn't it?
Yeah. They're calling it Unicorn Island. It's got water slides, rainbows, it's got giant unicorns. I think it's built for Instagram, basically.
Okay.
An explosion of colour in the sea. It's in a place called Subic Bay.
Well, I've been there. Yeah, I've been to Subic Bay. It's up near Angeles City, yeah, in the north of the Philippines, yeah.
Giant swings, towers, slides, a trampoline, rock climbing. This is my favourite thing. This is the thing I'd like to get you on. You're going, aren't you, in the summer?
Eh? Yeah, I'll be popping over, yeah.
Awesome! They've got a human launcher.
Oh, you want me to go and practice this on the human launcher and come back and report on the ticket?
They've got 150,000 Facebook followers. Imagine if you were to tag them in a photo of you...
being launched.
Being launched, Mark. Just saying. And the entry fee started 44 dirhams, so it's not too expensive to get in.
It's not, is it? That's a bargain. I'll give that a try just for you, the human launcher, and see how I get on.
And Saturday, just gone, was the day that officials predicted would be the busiest day of the year for tourists, where... do you think?
Busiest day for tourists, where Saturday just gone. I'll go for Mallorca.
No, it was Venice. It was possibly one of its most controversial days as well, because they planned to segregate locals and tourists in order to divert footfall where possible.
Now, the measures work on the basis that the vast majority of visitors want to visit just two places in Venice, the Piazza San Marco and the Rialto Bridge.
You've been to both?
I have. Yeah, and it wasn't... I mean, when I went, it wasn't crazy busy. And I just always remember sitting on the side of one of the canals there, eating a pizza with one of our former colleagues, actually, Lucy Taylor, and just looking out there. And it was idyllic. It's lovely.
You just saying that, sitting on one of them corners eating a pizza with this music in the background, everything sounds romantic, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It was kind of romantic. Yeah, checkpoints will be set up at two main entrances to the city, Pozzallo Roma, the bus terminal, and the Santa Lucia train station. And only locals and those carrying a Carta Venezia for frequent visitors will be allowed along the main thoroughfares. Everyone else is going to be diverted along less direct routes.
So was yesterday the day that Venice officially turned into a theme park, do we think? That's awful.
Pizza theme park.
A pizza pasta theme park.
Yeah.
Would you still want to go?
Yes, definitely.
Knowing that it's that crowded, that you're only allowed to walk down certain streets and you're not allowed to actually see the other bits of Venice.
The pizza's too good, especially if you put some pineapple on it.
Is it that good?
It's great, yeah. I've never tasted a pizza quite like what I tasted in Venice. I think if you're eating pizza in Italy, it tastes totally different.
All right, so Mark would still go. Would you like to live somewhere like that?
Probably not, no. Bit too busy. Little bit too busy for my liking.
Yeah.
What about you?
Definitely not. Should they take it off the cruise stop?
Oh,
they're the people.
Be a crying
making
shame.
The trouble. Who would it be a shame for?
But they're also the people taking in the dollars.
Nah,
aren't they?
They're not, because they're not staying in the hotels. They're not staying overnight. They're getting off the boat.
Yeah, they're spending on the souvenirs, though, aren't they?
No, they are. All they're doing, Mark, is going to the Piazza San Marco, getting a quick selfie, and then running over to Rialto Bridge, quick selfie,
back to
on
the ship. Back to the ship.
I say we stop the cruise stops.
No, I'm against you on that one. I think Venice is one of the nicest places I've ever stopped on a cruise, and actually boarded a cruise from as well.
Well, I'm going to take Venice off the list. No one listening can go anymore.
Oh, really? And you have the power to do that, do you?
Power to do that. We have got a suggestion. Now we struck Venice off your list. A different suggestion for you. It's an abandoned historic centre called Belmonte Calabro. And this is in Italy as well. Ico Belmonte is where we're headed for 2-4 stone houses that have been converted into tourist accommodation.
What's 2-4? What is it?
Well, looking online, they all look slightly different. It's not like you could say, oh, it's a house built in a certain way. But it's the rock that they use. And it's rock that's been ejected after a volcanic eruption that they use. So it's all different kind of shapes.
Okay.
Doesn't eject it all in the same
way. So every house is different then?
They're a little bit different.
Yeah. So Calabria is a land of secrets. It's a stronghold of the 'Ndrangheta mafia. You don't want to mess with them, lads.
They've gone.
Have they gone?
They've gone.
You never know, there might be the odd one left.
100%.
It's got sleepy, it's isolated villages hidden in the wilderness, and there are 3 national parks there as well, and the place is a bit of a mystery to tourists.
Yes, over time, the population dwindled to about 30 young people. You know when...
30?
Yeah, you know when you've got a village and the older generation, they have kids, and then the kids want to go to the city and work, their kids are born there, so suddenly you're left with older people who then start to die off, and then you're left with properties that need work, that have fallen into disrepair. But one of the few young people who stayed was called Gianfranco Striano, and he's got such happy memories of growing up in this village. He said it felt like one big family and he wanted to bring it back to life. So with the help of a few friends, he set up a non-for-profit association that began the painstaking process of asking all the owners who had abandoned their properties, left. He asked them if he could convert them into holiday homes. It took 4 years to redevelop 14 houses. So now this entire little tiny village is a holiday resort, but it's been done beautifully.
Amazing. So let's paint you a little radio picture. There are no cars. Houses are stacked tightly and linked by alleys barely a metre wide. Small cafes. The sea is just over a mile away down a hairpin road, which cars would be, it would be the best car to do that. Best to go in a car. It would be perhaps a Fiat 500, or the old school one.
Has to be, doesn't it?
I guess so.
It's the only car you can drive when you're in Italy, an old Fiat 500,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
But Belmonte Calabro is one of 6 historic hilltop villages, a mile or so inland, barely visible from the sea. Another was named as one of the top 20 most beautiful villages in Italy last year. So that's how picturesque this place is. And it's not very expensive either. 178 dirhams a night to stay in one of these new houses they've done up. Mm-hmm. And they are so quaint and so cute.
Yeah.
I think this is one of those places where if you find it, you tell all of your friends about it. But it's one that you've got to go to now, because once people start to hear about it and start going, then it'll be found and it'll almost be...
It'll be ruined then, won't it? So the nearest airport is at Lamezia Terme, which is 45 minutes drive away, and Naples and Bari airports are about 4 hours.
Yep, best time to visit, they say, is spring and autumn because July and August are sweltering. And the one thing the houses don't have is air conditioning. And I'm sure we can all think about that at the moment, can't we? If your aircon goes off and it's hot, it's
not comfortable,
good.
Is it?
No. So they're the stories that you might have missed. You're all caught up, all up to speed.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.